What's going on, people? People Forget That podcast, as always, with your co-hosts, Ryan, and the other co-host, Kevin.
Co-host with the most. It's me. Happy to be here, as always. Checking
episode
in. Episode 37.
I believe. That's crazy. We're climbing up the ranks. We're leveling up.
We're leveling up in number of episodes. There's no denying that. That's literally an objective fact.
We're just like an unstoppable train.
Yeah. The amount of episodes are just going to keep getting higher and higher. There's nobody who can really stop that.
Quite a busy week in MLB, in sports in general. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't really, unless you're hiding under a rock, which is such a cliche. I hate saying that phrase. It's just
there has to be a better one. So unless you're, is it hiding under a rock, or is, I thought it was sleeping under a rock. Living under a rock is the one. I agree that there has to be, we need to shift to like a different one. Like, unless you've been which means like, no, because you could quarantine, but like, you're still aware of what, living under a rock means you're like, you can't even see anything. You're under a rock. So, I mean, we'll table that. We'll take that offline.
Living in a ditch.
Living in a ditch. Yeah, that could be it. That could be it. Unless you've been living into a ditch. Unless you've been in a coma. There you go. That's a good one. Because you literally can't see or think or whatever.
That's better. Quick recap. Wednesday, NBA players. Basically, George Hill, the day before on Tuesday, said that he was sick to his stomach, and he's like, I don't even want to play. And then he sporadically decided to sit.
Spontaneously. I got you.
And then obviously he didn't tell his teammates, but then like, he basically wasn't playing. They're like, why aren't you playing? He's like, I just don't feel like it's right. And then they're like, they looked at each other and they're like, all right, we're not going to play either. And the Magic are sitting, warming up, getting ready for the game, and then they're like, where the fuck are the Bucks? And then they get word that they are boycotting the game. I guess that's an appropriate word.
Boycotting, you know, sitting out, taking a stand, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. They did not play.
Yeah, they weren't playing. And next thing you know, immediately I was like talking to Kevin, and I just said, you know, they're not going to, there's
thought potential. The season was over.
I thought, well, technically,
and there was one point where I did give in to that point of view, but off the bat I was confident that the season was not over.
So basically my mindset was that if like no one's gonna play that game,
on that day
so there
were two more games. There was Rockets Thunder and there was Lakers Blazers. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, those games, they're not going to play that. So then that was announced. And then I was like, well, they can't just like come back tomorrow and start playing. Just like, that doesn't do anything.
Because those teams need to sit out now. It's the same reason. It's like, they can't be the team who does play, because then it looks bad for them. So we're going to wipe off 2 days of games, which is what happened.
So then I'm just like, okay, well, they're not going to play again if they don't have something of significance to come back with.
So say, this is why you can't just sit out and then just go back with nothing. You have to sit out and then say, well, we sat out because look, we got this.
So there's basically no plan. And so I was like, okay, I mean, there's no way they're going to come up with a plan overnight. And I think they're basically, I mean, essentially they did. And I guess the plan was to, the whole voting thing to get players, the arenas to have open for voting. Places.
Yeah. So I think it was that. It was something about police reform in terms of, I guess, I don't know if it's the NBA focusing that or funding that. I thought it was police reform, like voting. And then it was the, like they established some sort of joint social justice initiative in the NBA that I guess is going to be like ideas that the players come up with that the NBA will fund, I guess. I don't know. I didn't read in too much into it, but then also it was the Bucks were saying that they wanted like, I think it was like a vote on was it like a on some sort of police reform bill in Wisconsin, which is obviously right. the state that the Bucks play in. And they were saying, oh, the, you know, the state legislature was, I guess they had been not meeting for a while or a couple of weeks or something like that. Maybe because it was Corona, maybe they're just delaying. I don't know. But it seems like at least I saw one tweet that it says that they are having a vote now. So I don't think it's fair to say that, oh, you know, the NBA players, you know, they sat out and they didn't get anything. It seems like they did get some stuff that they wanted. So I guess
pretty quickly too.
Yeah, pretty quickly. So I think from that perspective, you have to say it was a success. Now, like you're saying, was that the plan from the jump? Probably
they
not.
They
didn't seem like they have a plan because then it's like there were so many meetings, right? Then it was like, well, there's a player meeting on Thursday, and then there's a player meeting on Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning there's like a board of governors meeting, which also has players, but then there's also a players meeting at the same time. And there was so many leaks, by the way. Number one, there's like leaks left and right, like you wouldn't believe. And
right.
Well, one of the problems, I guess you could say, was that a lot of players felt like the Bucks put them in a bad position because they didn't, like you said, it was just spontaneous George Hill deciding like, I'm not going to play. And then the Bucks being like, oh, well, if you're not going to play, then we're not going to play either. Then all the other teams basically like, if you're not going to play, then we're not going to play either. And I guess a lot of players were, and it seemed even like it was Doc Rivers in the report said they were frustrated. Not like they were mad at the Bucks, but just sort of like, you know, why didn't you loop us in? Because now you're putting us in a weird spot where we can't play now, otherwise we're gonna look bad. So, and then there was a whole thing. I knew it was a fake when they said, okay, they voted on Wednesday night to 28 teams said, yeah, we want to continue the season. And then the Lakers and the Clippers were the two ones that don't want to continue the season. And I was just like, initially I was like, that's when I texted you, like, okay, I guess the season is literally over if they don't. And then I took like one deep breath and I was like, there's no way that this is actually happening. Like, it just seemed like a bluff by like LeBron.
It was way too quick.
Yeah. And it's just like it was, I just want to feel like it was a way for, and I don't know where the Clippers factor into this because like, why would the Clippers just follow whatever LeBron does? But I feel like from LeBron's perspective, it was a way for LeBron to sort of take control. Cause initially it was like the Bucks, you know, they're protesting it. All the focus was on the Bucks. And this was LeBron's way to be like, now all the focus is back on LeBron. What's LeBron going to do? Is he going to play? Oh, it seems like there's no way that LeBron was ever going to sit out the rest of the season. No way. He was part of the driving force to get the whole NBA inside the bubble to play to begin with. Was he not?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, LeBron's been all over the place. I don't even know. Like, regarding that, I know he said that basically he wanted a plan before like they did a boycott potentially, but then like the Bucks just kind of did it out of the blue. And then obviously no one's going to play.
Right. So. But how does, I understand that like LeBron could say, well, and it seemed like a lot of players are saying like, oh guys, you know, can you give us a heads up at least? But how do we get from that to then LeBron saying, okay, we're not playing. The season is over.
I don't think it was LeBron. I think
it was. No, well, that was, I think that was the next day where they still took a vote, and it was that Rondo and Dwight still didn't want to play. But the initial, like, in that initial players meeting Wednesday night.
Saying when LeBron, like, walked out of the meeting.
That's what I'm saying. That one was.
I heard that wasn't true. Like, you're saying that he stormed out of the meeting because they didn't want to cancel and he did?
Yeah.
I heard that was, ended up being false.
Well, then it came out like 2 minutes later that you were like, oh, we didn't, it wasn't like a vote to end the season. We were just, it was just more like a poll. And there was so much like spinning and narrative and leak to this guy, but leaked, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes there. But well, the point is they came back, they got some things that they wanted, and basketball is back on.
Yeah. It's just hard to, yeah, we're not like, you know, we're not going to talk, you know, politics on this podcast just because everyone else is doing that and we want to keep it light. But you just can't ignore what just happened because it is historic. It's not pretty. It is straight up historic. We've never seen this before. Just been a wild roller coaster year. And we also saw, you know, waves. Those waves hit into the MLB NFL, you know, NFL was canceling practice, MLB canceled a day of games, and NHL did too. We saw tennis, like everyone basically took a day to take a stand. We're back now though, and you know, it was, you know, it's something. It's really, really something, and it's crazy to see, you know, everyone so divided, and it's tough because there's just really just not a clear cut solution. You know, I do have to say, I don't necessarily feel bad that the players, you know, don't get to see their families because, you know, the people that are working.
I was holding my breath for what you were about to say, but I can go with this take.
Like, because there's like the workers that are in the bubble that aren't millionaires. They can't see their family either.
Well, I guess the only thing I would say, apparently some of those workers are like coming in and out of the bubble, but I know what you're saying, like referees, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I do feel bad though in the fact that they have such a large platform, but they don't know how to use it for, not saying that they're not using it for good, but like what they have such a large, influence, but they're not sure.
They're not like experts. It's hard to figure out, like, you know, it's just crazy. They shouldn't be the ones that try to figure everything out. I know what you're saying. There's so much pressure in there. They're trying to think, yeah, like you said, oh, there's this big platform. What should we do? It's like people's full-time jobs. Like if you're, you know, a politician or, you know, some sort of activist or something, it's like your full-time job to like figure this stuff out. And then to ask people who are, their main job is to play basketball, and now they also on the fly have to sort of figure out the best way to put people's attention on this or start this initiative. It's a lot to put on people's plates for sure. And to your point about the families, what was weird about that was like the whole point of like the families are coming in for the second round. So it was like, okay, we're going to end the season partially because people, you know, want to see their families, but half the teams are leaving the bubble, going back to their families, and the other half are having their families come into the bubble. So that part was weird. It's like you already made it 90% of the way there with, in terms of family.
Right. And, you know, LeBron's caught a lot of slack. I don't know if he's like, it's been mixed reviews about what LeBron has done, but I do find it extremely impressive for him being the most influential people in the world to put that on his back. And then the next game to be completely locked in and have just a phenomenal game against the Blazers, 30 point triple double, extreme efficiency, along with Anthony Davis. But I mean, to put that type of, to try to like, juggle like, huge, this incredible, like historic political issue, and then at the same time, like working on your legacy in basketball with like all these external factors. There's like so much money on the line, in both areas, and to just get locked in for the next game, basketball wise, it's very impressive, and it's, you know, it's why he's, you know, I think is the greatest player of all time. And, you know, Jordan wasn't very political, but now that he's retired, he seems to be more involved. He was actually on a call with the players to try to discuss. And it's, you know, he's a good person. Cause obviously he's the one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Second greatest in my opinion. And, you know, he's also an owner. So, you know, you get hear the both sides of, you know, the table. So he was the perfect balance. And so I don't know what he had, you know, we don't have all the information about what went down. There was just so much going on in that 24 hours, but yeah. So shout out to Basketball LeBron for getting locked in, took care of the Blazers, but also, you know, shout out to the Blazers for actually stepping up because they put up a fight. I mean,
it's about as well as you could have hoped if you're a Blazers fan, the whole bubble experience going for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause obviously they didn't have Damian, so they needed CJ to step up. And he played very well, but you know, the Lakers are moving on to the next round and we'll be playing the winner of the Rockets Thunder, who, I mean, the Thunder, they're putting up a fight too. They're not going away quickly, but Russ just came back and they blew him out. They blew out the Thunder, and he only played like 24 minutes. Didn't really play great. He only had like 7 points, but you know, a fully healthy Russ and, you know, James Harden and the crew, I think they're going to take care of them the next game. I think it's tomorrow night, actually. It's tomorrow night, the Thunder and the Rockets. But, you know, that's been it was a cool series just because of the narratives between Chris Paul and the Rockets, James Harden, whatnot. But, yeah, so looking forward to that. The Bucks took care of the Magic. Obviously, the Raptors beat the Nets. I'm not sure if we did an update on that. So they played the Celtics today, and they looked inferior to the Celtics. The Celtics lost Gordon Hayward, but you kind of forget he's even on the team.
I agree with that.
You forget.
It's not like he was playing bad because he's actually playing really good. I mean, yeah, for like this new stage of Gordon Hayward's career after post-injury.
Yeah. You know, it's not like as big, he was playing well, but they have, you know, really good wings in Jaylen and Jason. So it's not like, you know, it's a key piece, like, let's say, you know, losing a point guard. I mean, I wouldn't even say Kemba, because, like, I think they'd still be really good without Kemba. Like, Kemba hasn't done too much.
Well, there's a lot of there's overlap between Hayward and Tatum and Brown, and you know, they're just all wing players. So it's like, okay, you can argue that you're missing Hayward, but that just means more shots, more possessions for Tatum, more shots, more possessions for Jaylen, and more shots, more possessions for Kemba. So it's like, you know, if they're going to be at their best peak, absolute best, do you want to have a full strength team? Yeah, of course. But just when there's sometimes a lot of players who play similar positions, fit in similar roles, it's not the worst thing ever if one of you guys goes injured, in terms of like guys playing. Like, is it really that complicated for the Celtics to figure out how to play without, you know, if it's like if the Lakers lose Anthony Davis, they don't have anyone who could just sort of fill in and play that Anthony Davis role. So it's right. Like, but the Celtics, oh, the Gordon Hayward role, great. Maybe Jason Tatum needs to get one or two more assists per game. You know what I'm saying? Because Hayward is a little bit more of a creator than he is. But it's like, yeah, I agree where it's like, I don't think they should be screwed without him, but you probably want to be at full strength. But I mean, they're up 1-0 against the Raptors. It doesn't mean the series is over, obviously, even though winning game one, you know, that team wins the series most of the time, but it will. I think the two East series are going to be really good series. I'll say that.
I don't believe in Siakam. What? I never have. Even during his run, I just don't see it.
I see what he's doing in the playoffs so far. Only 5 games, but...
Well. Like, his skill set isn't... He doesn't have enough in his game to really push the lever for me. He's a okay 3-point shooter. He's fine, but
he's been bricking in these, not to interrupt, just real quickly with his stats for this playoffs. He's in 4 games against the Nets, he shot 42% from the field and 29% from three.
Yeah.
So not great.
Free throws are down too. From his regular season, 10%.
Yeah, 71% in the playoffs. He's putting up 21, 8, and 5. So you look at his counting stats, you say, like, oh, man, that's good. But if he's doing it on crappy efficiency, that's not good stuff. And that's only counting, like, the games against the Nets. But he put up, like, 13 points against the Celtics today. So it's not like stats got worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I just, like, we were talking about Paul George and how he has some limited moves, but Paul George is talented enough where he just gets his, and he's efficient. He's efficient. He's a much better shooter, and he's a better defender, and he's more fluid. Like, Siakam, you kind of want to compare him just to Giannis, but it's, like, disrespectful to Giannis just because Giannis is just so much better. It's just because he's like this tall, lanky dude.
He's got a 7'3" wingspan, which is crazy.
Yeah, he's like super, super lengthy, but he just doesn't have the same rhythm, the handle that Giannis does.
He's not a number one on offense, which is with a part of the thing with the Raptors. It's like they don't really have a number one on offense. It's like it's Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet. Obviously, they're good players, and they can be great players, you know, when they're locked in and they're hitting their stride. But it's there's just something. It does feel like they're missing one player, like
Kawhi.
Yeah, like obviously, yeah. If they had Kawhi, they would be dominant. They would be unstoppable if they had Kawhi. But without him, it's like, yeah, okay. So if Siakam has nobody is counting on Siakam to put up 25 points efficiently every single night. So then it's like, okay, now all you need is Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet to have an off offensive game, and then like you're screwed at that point.
Yeah, I mean, VanVleet was 3-for-16 today. That's pretty bad, but minus 28. He's obviously not that bad. You know, he's going to get he'll get his like 20 points. He's been, you know, much improved, but you know, these are all like third options on a championship team. And, you know, they play good team ball. You know, Coach Nurse is a great coach, but what happens in the playoffs is, which is why, you know, stars are so coveted, is that usually the best player in the season, best player in the series, like that team wins. And I think Jason Tatum is clearly the best player. Who's better? Jalen? Who do you think? Who would you take on if you're building a contender?
Well, I don't think that's fair. Then you have to factor in like how old they are. If you're just building for one season.
Let's just say you're trying to win one game. Game 7 of the finals. Who are you taking, Siakam or Jaylen Brown?
Probably Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I mean,
but if you asked me Lowry or Brown, I'd probably take Lowry just because he's had big moments in the finals before. But it's I know what you're saying. Like it's tough. Yeah. It's like if you were ranking the players in the series, like where do they stack? You know, it's like, and it's to your point. If it comes down to talent, it's almost like the idea. I remember there was like this theory at one point with the Spurs. Obviously the Spurs were amazing. They had like a huge run, you know, 5 titles. They were incredible. But sometimes in the years where they would underperform in the playoffs, people would say, you know, a team like the Spurs excels in the regular season because they, you know, run their system, they're high effort, they're high intensity. They're going to, you know, make their rotations on defense. They're going to run their plays. They have these guys who, you know, really putting a lot of effort and know their role. So maybe they'll win 4 or 5 games more than their talent should say during the regular season. But then in the playoffs, it just comes down to talent basically. And who has the best players, who has literally the best player. And that's what's going to win out most of the time. It's similar to the point you're making about the Raptors. It's like, okay, they're the, you know, the second seed in the East and oh my God, there people are lumping them in with, you know, oh, everyone's talking about the 2 LA teams and the Bucks, but are the Raptors that fourth contender? But then you look at it and it's like, the Celtics are just a more talented team than them. So it's like, and the Celtics also have an amazing coach in Brad Stevens and they have their system and yada, yada, yada. So it's like the Raptors aren't just going to be able to give max effort and like, oh, you know, we're the scrappy team who we run at all our plays right. And we crash the boards and that's what's going to win us some games. In the playoffs, you need your superstars to play like superstars. That's what wins the game. Not like whoever is the scrappiest team.
And then you may look at like, oh, the Raptors had a better record than the Celtics in the regular season, but actually the Celtics had a better point differential. Not by much, by only 0.1, but still it's really, you know, just looking at the standings is just not enough. So, I mean, the Raptors have a great defense, but I mean, Celtics have a good defense and they have the talent to potentially overpower them. Jason Tatum, you know, I think he's just going to blossom into a star. Well, he is a star, but, you know, he has the talent to become a superstar, you know, most similar to Kobe, but potentially more efficient. You know, we'll see.
He, so far in the playoffs, he, not counting in today's game, he has given us 27-10 rebounds, 10 rebounds and 2.5 assists. on 49% from the field, 45% from three on 8 attempts per game, and 6 free throws attempts per game, which you like to see that on 72% from the line. So, yeah, I mean, to put it,
those are superstar numbers.
Yeah, to put it lightly, he's been playing like a superstar.
So, yeah, I mean, he's only 22 years old. That's not bad. That's not bad. He should be on the Nets, but we're not going to talk about that. Yeah, so let's look at the – so the Bucks took care of the Magic, but not really. I wouldn't even say take care, because Magic – I'm not sure if the Magic put up a fight or the Bucks struggled, because they lost the first game. They did the Bucks blew them out like once or twice, but then the last game, the Magic got it within three. And, you know, it was looking – it's not great. It's not what you want to see from the favorite.
How about Vucevic having a big series? 28-11 with 4 assists? Like, what the hell is that?
Now, he puts up the numbers.
He puts up the numbers, that Vucevic, and 40% from three. So
that's solid.
Yeah, damn. I wonder – I think he – I think this was his last year of his contract, if I'm not mistaken. I wonder what you know, if you're the Magic, let me just check if that's actually true. If you're the Magic, don't you sort of just want to move on from him? Because it's like, they're just like the what am I even saying? This is the first year they just signed him to a 4-year, $100 million contract. So totally get rid of everything I just said and let's move on. So yeah, the Bucks, Giannis did his job, that's for sure.
Giannis
31, 16, and 6. I mean, that's literally ridiculous.
Everyone else, though.
What are you?
Chris Middleton struggled.
Chris Middleton, 15 points on 36% from the field. That is horrible.
And I have to say, I think definitely the most pressure any team has in this playoffs are the Bucks. Not only if they, obviously, they're the favorite, so, you know, it's pretty much championship or bust, but if they lose, they don't even get to the finals, they lose Giannis too. There's no way Giannis stays if they do not make it to the finals this year. There's no way.
What if they make it to the finals next year, though?
Well, we wouldn't know.
How do we not know?
I just don't like. They would. I just don't think. I think he would be making his exit plan.
Okay, but
I don't think he would give it up. It would be 2 years that they get the number one seed. And they were dominant, and you can't really get much better. I mean, they won like back to back, 55 games.
They were on a 66 win pace this year, and last year I'm pretty sure they won 60 plus last year.
Yeah, I think they won 61 last year, and to not even make it to the finals.
Okay, but you're saying, yeah, well, he's going to make his exit plan. What does that mean? So they offer him the extension, because that's the big move. They're going to offer him the extension this summer. This fall, I guess, and then he's going to decline it, and then so what? You know what? I would say screw it. If I'm the Bucks, I'm not going to trade. I'm not going to trade him unless I get a haul for him. And then who's going to give up a huge package for Giannis
with next year?
What?
Well, he's a free agent next year, right?
The year he has still one more year left on his contract.
Yeah,
but the Bucks can finally offer him a big extension after this year. So if he turns that down, he still has next year on his contract. But why would I trade him if I'm the Bucks
you don't lose him for nothing.
Okay, but who's going to give up a huge package for him? I'd almost rather lose him for nothing than do what the Spurs did, which is trade Kawhi with 1 year left on his contract for DeMar DeRozan. Like, why the hell are you going to do that for? The Spurs would probably be better off if they didn't get DeMar. Well, DeMar's been balling on the Spurs, so it's tough to say.
It's better than nothing.
Well, if you get nothing, then you could tank and get high draft picks and just start over.
Or why not?
That's my point. Is who is going to give up a huge, great package for 1 year of Giannis?
It won't be a great package,
which is ridiculous. He's the best player.
But you can't, because unless they get a commitment,
right? Which
Giannis would have to commit.
So then
that's the only way.
Then we get into where does he want to play?
That's the thing. They might shop around, see where he wants to go. The thing about Kawhi was so strange, because he didn't commit to the Raptors. The Raptors basically just took
a risk.
A leap of faith. They took a leap of faith and were just like, if we play well enough,
he will fall in love with us.
he'll fall in love with us and he'll stay. Well, it worked out, but he didn't stay.
Yeah.
So honestly, it was obviously a win because they won the championship.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot deny that.
They were going to get rid of DeRozan anyway when they kept losing in the playoffs.
Yeah. But I'm the thing is,
what's the thing?
Like, let's say the Mavericks.
Oh God.
I don't think the Mavericks really have the pieces to trade for him. Like, they don't have any young prospects to
Tim Hardaway really Jr. and Trey Burke for Giannis.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Knicks obviously don't. RJ Barrett.
If you look at I'm just looking at the Bucks roster. It's like if I just told you, let's take Giannis off the team, right? So Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, Wesley Matthews, Kyle Korver, Pat Connaughton, Dante DiVincenzo, Marvin Williams, Ersan Ilyasova, Robin Lopez, Sterling Brown, and Frank Mason. Like,
the team is not getting me excited.
Where is the excitement coming from?
And you live in Milwaukee. The worst place on earth.
Okay. Come on. But then again, worst you could say, well, I guess if you did the same exercise with the Lakers, I was going to say you could do the same thing with the Lakers, but if you're taking LeBron off, the first name you say is Anthony Davis, and right off the bat, you're excited.
Okay. And Los Angeles, beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Never been, but that's what I've heard.
I heard it's not like Milwaukee.
It's not Milwaukee, so it's gotta be good.
I kind of hope Giannis stays, but then this Bucks team is just weird. It's just blah, blah, blah. Chris Milton, you gotta get your head together, man. Every player in the bubble
not that good.
No, but he played amazing. He played amazing in the regular season. He's shooting 50-40-90 with like 20 points a game, and he's giving you a few assists. But like, what? It shouldn't change that much in the playoffs. Every player in the playoffs in this bubble, it's like the bubble is like basketball steroids. Every player is like 50 points a game, shooting 80% from the field, having the best playoffs of his life. And then Chris Milton is like 36% in five games. He's shooting 36% from the field. That's unacceptable. You're supposed to be the second fiddle to Giannis. You're gonna let your guy down? Step up, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and like going back to like the regular season thing, like, yeah, he had a great regular season, but I mean, even Isaiah Thomas scored 30 points in the NBA before, and he's not even in the league, and he's like 30 years old.
He had injuries. The regular season, it does mean something. It does mean something. I don't know.
Not 1 year. You have to show it. He's like an 18-6 guy who's like solid on defense. It's not like
he's so boring. It's like, so what the hell? Who do you think anyone has ever watched a Chris Milton YouTube video, like highlight pack? Like, they're probably what do you think the highest views for a Chris Middleton, like 2018, 2019 season highlights with like a stupid song in the background? There's no way that cracks 100,000 views on YouTube, and it's probably like his family members for like 50,000 of the views. He really should be a third option.
I'm looking it up.
But then it's like they're a juggernaut though, but during the regular season. But maybe it's just like I don't know what teams crack the code. Like, why don't if the Bucks are such a juggernaut in the regular season, but they're vulnerable in the postseason, why don't all the teams just make them vulnerable in the regular season? You're still trying to win games.
His NBA highlight mixtape.
Did you sort by most views?
No.
Oh, you should have.
Well, the thing is, most views has like the single clips, so like his game winner or 51 points highlights. So that's like kind of an outlier.
What's a 51 points highlights? I'm interested.
7 months ago against the Wizards.
But how many views did it have?
31,000.
Yeah, that's like for 51 points. That's terrible. All
right, so the most views that this guy has from like anything that's actually just individually about is 200,000.
Oh, you were talking about, how are you figuring this out?
I just typed in Chris Middleton highlights.
And then you sorted by most views?
Yeah, and it's Chris Middleton rattles the three off the backboard.
You're right. Everything else is like,
that's terrible.
Full game highlights.
Let's look at Trey Young.
I was kind of close. I said 100,000. Trey Young probably has like 3 million video views.
View count.
Because, I mean, he has tons of fans. Wow. Yeah, even right off the bat, you see he's got like 700,000 for like his season highlight tape from the NBA. Shout out to Dawkins, man. Whatever happened to that guy? The NBA nuked him.
He made like 3 accounts and he just couldn't keep it up. But his mixtape, this mixtape from 2 years ago has 1.6 million views.
Yep.
Something from college.
His best plays of the 2018-2019 season have 971K views.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, he's nine times more popular than Chris Middleton.
And he's been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah. It's just
so.
It's just they,
and he's on a terrible team.
And it's like, what? How are the Bucks? Like, are they going to trade? Like, who? Let's say they try to trade for a third guy. Like, who are they going to? They're going to trade Eric Bledsoe, and
they would trade. They would have to trade for a second guy.
What I'm saying. The third guy to be the second guy.
So they definitely need a point guard.
Yeah, George Hill Hill, Eric Bledsoe. What's Eric Bledsoe's deal, huh? 12 points, 4 rebounds. Oh, 6.6 assists. I like that.
Remember when he was
baby LeBron on the Clippers?
Yeah, he was mini LeBron on the Clippers. Oh man, the sixth man off the bench, just like the worst kept secret in the league.
And then maybe
he played well. He had like 20 points a game. On what team was it?
The Suns.
Suns, yeah.
And he said, "I don't want to be here."
Him and
the legendary tweet.
Him and Dragic were carrying up the 2 point guards. That was actually a fun.
And Isaiah Thomas was on that team too.
Oh yeah, he was the sixth man. Yeah, that team was actually pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, Bledsoe's 30 years old, and he's not a good 3 point shooter. So you gotta do something quick because I don't know what to tell you.
Do something about that their 3 point shot there, Eric. You better get on
this guy. He's not even like shooting. I think he's like his 3 point attempts went down the season. I think because he's realizing that he's not good at 3 point attempts. He's actually, he shot 35% on 3 attempts, but
that's pretty good actually for him. I'm saying that's like slightly below average, which I would have guessed like 29 or 30%, but he doesn't trust it. And defenses are just going to play off of him.
I mean, his career average is 335.
That is not good.
Yeah, so it's really not. It's below average, and this guy's known for his athleticism, but he's 30 years old, and he's like what, 6 foot tall? He's 6'1". He's gonna be out of league in. All right, Eric Bledsoe out of league in at least 3 years. 3 years maximum.
No,
I'm gonna say in 2 years he's gonna be out of league though.
So you say he has next?
I said the same thing.
Next season and the season after, you're saying.
So when he turns 32, basically.
So when Eric Bledsoe is 32, he will be either clearly on his way out of the league or not in the league anymore. Okay.
100%. I said this was my hottest take.
Okay, but you didn't predict injuries for Isaiah Thomas.
No, it wasn't even injuries, dude.
He like ripped his hip in half. He had brutal hip surgery and then was never the same.
When he was scoring 30 points a game, I said he was going to be out of the league in 2 years. He actually, I mean, technically, he wasn't out of the league because he came back, but he was essentially, you forgot who he was. He like, you just basically was irrelevant. That was one of, that's one of my favorite callouts. I'm going to never let that die down because he was like just on top of the world there. He was getting traded for fucking Kyrie Irving. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's
probably what this is all about. It's just a propaganda campaign. Oh, can you believe they traded him for Kyrie? Kyrie is a superstar.
Kyrie's getting love for.
Kyrie's not getting love from anybody.
He's getting tons of love.
Yeah, Kyrie. If everyone would just listen to Kyrie, we would never have basketball ever again. Sports would be canceled forever.
Everyone needs to apologize to Kyrie.
Yeah, for his great idea, which was to not play basketball, and they kept playing basketball. So, you know, if they had just listened to Kyrie, they didn't listen to Kyrie again. So. And if they had listened to Kyrie, would they have been able to get done what they just got done? was anybody going to care as much if they didn't have the chip to play of not playing basketball games? If they didn't even go in the bubble at all, would they have been able to accomplish this? No.
Kyrie's the vice president.
Wrong.
He's the vice president for a reason.
Yeah, he is. Probably because he's the only one who showed up to the election. I think he stuffed the ballot boxes. I think there was some mail-in voting fraud going on there. We'll have to investigate. What else is going on in the league?
Well, since we have the Bucks, so the Bucks are facing the Heat in the second round.
You know what? I'll go with it too. The hot take, like you said, is Heat over Bucks. I'll take it. Fine.
I'm not going with
it. I'll go with it.
Giannis is way too good. Giannis is too good. Again, going back to, you're kind of being what's the word?
Reactionary?
No. On the tip of my tongue. Contradicting.
Contrary.
Contradicting. No, contradicting, in which we both just discussed how the best player, well, I said it more, but I think you might have also emphasized the best player on the team, whoever has the best player usually wins the series. Giannis is far and away the best player in this series. If the Heat had someone, I would say Jimmy Butler is a third tier star. And Bam is like fourth. So if they had a second tier star to pair with them, I would say, like, yeah, I can see them. Like, let's say Westbrook was on the Heat.
Okay.
If Westbrook, Jimmy, and Bam, yeah, I would be saying, you know, they would take care of the Bucks. But I just don't see it. I mean, Dragic has played well. He's actually one of the leaders in the locker room. They have really good chemistry. And I like what Tyler Hero does on the court.
Duncan Robinson's
a great shooter.
Hey, watch out for this. How about Giannis in the first round? He made 10 threes in 5 games and shot 38.5% from 3. Whoa.
That's scary.
Whoa.
That's
scary. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just going to take over. I mean, he's going to do his thing. It's just a matter of how much they win by, in my opinion. If, you know, Bledsoe and Middleton, Lopez has pretty much been so quiet, it seems like. He's just like, last year, it's just like, oh, Brook Lopez is rejuvenated. He's like this 7-footer just knocking down threes. You know, I love Brook Lopez as, you know, a former Net. You know, he's one of the faces of the franchise, but, you know, he sucks at defense and he's the worst rebounding big man in NBA history. So I'm not really like, oh shit, they got Brook going. But
yeah, I mean, when Brook is like, you know, when
worst rebounder in NBA history.
Yeah, it's like he's turned into an amazing defensive player, but it's like, you know, Brook is not going to score like 20 points. You know, he's just, I don't know. He used to be that guy where he's just putting up big scoring nights, but I don't know. Is anyone worried about Brook Lopez dropped 25 points? Like, you know, he seems like a 15 point guy now.
I'm not even sure if he gets 15 points. I think his average is probably like 10.
Yeah. Just against the Magic. How about, I'm just looking at LeBron's stats for the first round. 27, 10, and 10 on 60, 46, 74.
That's incredible efficiency.
That is incredible efficiency.
Considering how he played in pre-bubble.
Yeah,
whatever
he was stinking it up. Even in game 2, he put up a bad game, but games 1, he had all the assists, and then 3, 4, and 5, he was dominant. I was worried because his jumper was off, but he got the jumper all the way back. I don't know. I don't think that if the Lakers just play their game, they're going to beat the Rockets.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very fun, though. I think it's going to be very fun. The matchups are really interesting because I feel like they both don't have people to guard each other. So no one on the Rockets can guard AD or LeBron, but no one on the Lakers can guard Harden or Westbrook.
Caruso, that's who's going to do it.
Caruso is actually, okay. All right.
He's good, but, man.
No, he is. No, I'm definitely not on the Caruso. I've been touting Caruso. I just don't understand why they haven't made him like the point guard for their team. Just like, it's like they keep like, oh, we need a point guard. It's like, just let Caruso get more minutes.
Yeah, he'll grow into the role,
do everything right. He's, you know, every time he's on the floor, it seems like the Lakers do well. I just wish he would shave his head, but
yeah,
you know, we can't have everything.
Yeah, baby stuff.
But I mean, let's say, what about when Caruso's gone? I mean, well, Kuzma has actually been.
What about if Rondo better. Comes back? That would be terrible. I think that's an under discussed storyline. Like, Rondo's on his way back. I don't know if he's going to play in game one, but he's definitely going to play. Oh my god!
Is he hurt or is he taking a stand? Because I know he was like adamant about.
No, I think he's hurt. He's hurt.
Okay. I mean, he sucks, but
yeah, Kuzma's playing good defense. He struggled on offense in round one, but he's playing good defense.
So, but I mean, it's, I think it's going to be a 6-game series, Lakers and 6.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, I mean, Harden's going to get some games that he goes crazy. And Russ, I would like to see Russ tomorrow, you know, come back, have a nice bounce back game. Because today he was on, I mean, not today.
Yesterday,
he didn't really do much, but I don't know if he was, I think he was on a minutes restriction and didn't really get going. So if he gets going tomorrow, very positive sign for the Rockets, but I just don't think they have enough. I do love the small ball experiment, and I'm glad that we're pretty much talking as if like the Rockets basically won the series, but I mean, let's just say that they did.
Yeah, against it's 3-2 against the Thunder, but I don't know. I don't see the Thunder winning that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Paul.
Yeah. You know, I think that I love the small ball experiment, and I think it will totally change the game. They just don't have the right pieces for it. You know, PJ Tucker was like 27, 28, 100%. If they had like, or AD. Oh, he's not really.
Small ball then.
It wouldn't be small ball, but like, prime Draymond would be obviously the perfect fit. Yeah. It just makes sense. But, you know, I just love watching them play. People don't just because they shoot so many free throws, but, you know, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you know, they got solid pieces. And, you know, I like what D'Antoni's going to do, even though he's probably going to get fired this season. But, you know, listen, it's just, you know, another journey. I don't know who's going to take him. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Who else we got? Jazz. Okay, so Jazz and the Nuggets are playing right now. Basically 40 apiece, early second quarter. Jazz are winning. Donovan Mitchell balling out. Jamal Murray balling out. Buying Donovan Mitchell stock, selling Jamal Murray stock. I don't see the talent. I mean, I see the talent that he has, but it's not superstar talent in Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray basically gave everyone like an orgasm last game. And like last two games, he has like, I don't even know. It's like fucking 90 points and like no turnovers on extreme efficiency.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let's see what he's doing right now. Let's see the box score.
It's bubble. It's bubble shenanigans. I think it's like they're pumping oxygen into the bubble.
It's like, listen, all right, he's got fucking 18 points in 14 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Well, you got to hold on a little bit longer for that stock. Sell it during the halftime and hope that he has a terrible second half.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell. The
highest stock ever gets in his career.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
scoring like 15 points a game.
Donovan Mitchell, 4-for-4, 11 points. So it's not like he's not doing well. He's doing great, too. So, I mean, it's just like a battle between these two. But I'm a Mitchell guy. I think the Jazz are going to close it out tonight, and we're going to see Jazz versus the scumbag Clippers.
The scumbag Clippers. I really
scumbag.
They're so good, man. But they're so annoying.
I mean, listen, we got Marcus Morris.
Scumbag. Pat Beverly.
Montrezl Harrell.
Scumbag. Montrezl Harrell. Scumbag.
Lou Williams almost destroyed the entire NBA.
Low-key scumbag move.
Paul George is a little whiny bitch who's like takes like he just throws shade. Like, did you see the quote like, in the first series, the first game, he's just like, you know, I'm just not hitting my shots. You know, I'm getting the looks, but
not James Harden. Yeah, some of us actually play defense. Like, it's like not what he said, but it's basically the spirit of what he said.
Yeah, he's just like, the defenders aren't good. Like, I don't know why I'm not, like, it's just like throwing low key shade. He's like throwing shots at Dame when, like, Dame sent him out in the playoffs last year. It's like, what are you doing? I just don't like
it. On Instagram, like, oh, I don't listen to what the haters say or whatever the hell he's posted.
And he's like blocking everyone, all the haters. So he literally can't listen to what the haters
are like coming out with quotes like, we're just telling Paul, man, don't listen to the internet. It's like, what the hell is going on?
And it's like, I love Kawhi, but man, everyone else.
Since he's such a rival with LeBron, I don't want to love Kawhi, but he's just great, man.
It's like he just doesn't. He just balls.
Yeah, he does. It seems like, I bet you, he talks a little more trash than people think, but he just goes robot mode. He just does his mid-range jumpers. He does, some of them aren't even mid-range jumpers. He literally just drives into the paint, but he's not athletic enough to consistently get all the way to the hoop. So then he'll just do like a little turnaround jumper in like the middle of the paint and just make it from like 10 feet, but just drain it every time.
He's just a winner.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a winner. He's basically small forward version of Tim Duncan.
Oh yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He's come from the Spurs. How about if you were to, well, you know, I'll just read off Mike Conley. How about Mike Conley, man? 23 points, 4 assists, and he's shooting 58% from the field, 59% from three, and 93% from free throws. I mean, damn, Mike Conley having a little bit of a bounce back here. Not a little bit, a lot of bit of a bounce back, which is good to see because he just was so crappy during the regular season.
And it didn't really make sense why he was so bad.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Definitely injured. And, you know, because, you know, he's probably 31.
32.
Okay. He's 32. So obviously he's on the wrong side of his prime. Yeah. On his career, but he still definitely has some juice left in him. He's the type of player that would age well, he's an excellent 3-point shooter, and you know, he's just very smart. So, you know, I'm glad to see him bouncing back, and that's a huge
addition
to this Jazz roster.
Bogdanovich wasn't hurt though.
That would be, yeah, that's the next extra jolt. That would be just perfect.
Imagine, you know, another 20 point per game score.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Donovan has just been, you know, unimaginably good, amazing, just phenomenal, just like making up for it. But we'll see how long it lasts. And also Jordan Clarkson, shout out to him. He's been
rehabbing his career.
Yeah, I mean, he just stole the ball and just laid it up. Really nice. He, you know, he's kind of, I mean, so he's, you know, he's a solid scorer off the bench. He's a little spark plug. Sucks at defense, but you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, like the Conley addition is huge. You know, just get the ball out of Donovan's hands, so he has the ball less to take pressure off of him. And Gobert is obviously just a rock, and you know, they have a good pick and roll game between Mitchell and him. So, you know, the Nuggets, Jokic is really good, but I'm not all in. Gary Harris, I just don't like.
He hasn't even been playing, though.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter. I just don't like him. Michael Porter Jr. is making these incredible mistakes on defense.
That highlight was all. Well, Gary Harris actually is playing this game. They're showing him on the screen, yeah. But before that, he's been hurt. But yeah, Michael Porter Jr., yeah, he's, I mean, that was going to go down in history as one of the dumbest, inexplicable things you could ever see someone do. It's like, it's not even that you're being like bad on defense. It's like, do you even know like what sport you're playing? Yeah, it's like, no, you can't steal a pass outside the 3-point line while you're standing in the paint. Like,
I don't even know what it is. It's like common sense. It's like not even a sport. It's just like,
just life. You have to know that, okay, that's 30 feet away from me. Reaching my arm out is not going to block it. Holy crap.
I feel like you learned that at a very young age, like when you're like 2.
Yeah, I think maybe it was just sort of a panic where he knows that he's like in the wrong position or whatever. So it's like he's sort of just trying to give a lot of effort to be like, oh, you know, but then it's like you end up looking dumber than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, So then we'll have the Jazz, Clippers, and I don't want the Clippers to win, but they got Kawhi, so yeah.
They're going to beat the Jazz. They're going to beat the Jazz. I mean, come on.
They're going to beat the Jazz. I don't like saying that now. You know, it was literally, it's been like a week. Like, just like everything that's kind of, like Marcus Morris is just like starting shit with Luka.
Yeah.
But Luka's dominating him.
Yeah. It's like they know that they're not as good as Luka. So they have to start like a bunch of nonsense.
Nonsense. You know, very immature team. I don't even think Kawhi likes playing with them.
Yeah. It's like, I don't, what does he think of these bozos, Kawhi? Like, does he think it's funny? Does he kind of get, roll his eyes at them? And it's like, guys, like, we can just beat them. Can you stop doing this, like, BS?
Who knows?
Jokic is putting up good stats, but his rebounds and assists are down. Like, he's giving you 26 a game on super good efficiency, but he's only giving you 8 rebounds and 5 assists. Whereas normally it's like you think, really, yeah. What the hell? How is he only averaging 5 assists? I guess.
Jamal Murray. And,
yeah, it could be that.
Yeah, I feel like the ball, like Jamal Murray, has been really running the show. I mean, rightfully so, just because he's been on fire.
Yeah, keep the ball in his hands. I wonder what Paul Millsap's stats are in the playoffs.
Let's take a look.
He's 35, so it's like, yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah, his expectations are lower. I love Paul Millsap when he's on the Hawks
game. Yeah. Oh, God.
Him and Horford. Really. Good.
8 points.
Oh, man.
3 rebounds on
40%. What are you doing?
40% from the field, Paul. Come on, Paul. But per 36, just to give you a better idea, it's like 12 and 5. So, but that efficiency, Paul, you're shooting 40% from the field. You're a big man. Make some layups.
38 from 3, though. What volume? Like one shot, probably.
Probably, yeah. I saw that too. I didn't check.
He's pretty invisible on the court.
Very invisible on the court. Him and Al Horford just need to ride off into the sunset. We talked about it. They're in the same phase of their career. They're going to put up 12 points and have, you know, 4 rebounds and just sort of run around out there.
I mean, Paul Millsap, it kind of reminds me of the power forward version of Joe Johnson. He's like he'll consistently get you, like, let's say, well, speaking of his prime, or like a little bit in his twilight years, so he'll just get you like 17 and 8. Like Joe Johnson will get you like 17, 5, and 3. Like, you know where you're getting. They're not doing anything sexy. Sometimes you won't even notice it. But you know, they're reliable. They're very reliable and mature individuals. I like them both.
Kind of have similar shooting forms too.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I was going to say they're boring, but I don't want, I mean, I loved Joe Johnson on the Hawks. Was like, I thought it was super exciting awesome handle.
Yeah. No, that's true. Hawks, Joe Johnson was, their team was sort of boring because you knew they were never going to get over the hump, but he was an exciting player. He's got his game winners. He's cool, Joe. He's got his money. Yeah. He's $200 million. He's cool. He's doing fine.
Want to switch to MLB?
Yeah.
All right. So this crazy stat. Crazy. Fucking nuts. The Dodgers. What do you think their point? All right. So I'm gonna name some teams. Okay. Padres, who've been like the hottest team in the league.
Yep.
One of the hottest.
Did they trade for Clevinger yet while we were on
there? Again, everyone.
I'm not as locked in on baseball, so like I don't know some of these guys, but like they traded for the Padres traded for like a catcher. Like they did 3 trades or something.
Yeah, they traded for 2 catchers actually. Jason Castro, I'm not too familiar with, and they traded for Austin Nola, who is Aaron Nola's brother, he's 30. Didn't even know he was in the league probably before this season, but he's been hot. And they got both. They got 2 catchers. But they also got, did they get fucking Lance Lynn or what?
It seems.
Now they're saying evident. If the Padres shift their, all right, I thought they already got him.
Tell me, do you use on our Twitter account, do you use the list?
No.
Click on the name and go to list.
The list.
and then do sports. I curated a perfect feed. Well, it has none of your Nets guys, though, so maybe you won't like it as much. But anyway, yeah, we saw the same tweet.
The same feed, pretty much.
No, it's not.
All right, so
Lance Lynn's been a stud. What
Lance Lynn's been really good, but the thing is, like, his price tag is too high for what age he's in.
But you got him.
You're buying high.
You are buying high, that's for sure.
And like the floor is low because he's only done it for a year and a half. He hasn't even done it. He's done it for a year, like half of last season and half of this season. All right, so yeah.
I mean, are the Yankees going to do anything?
We'll see. Okay, so back to this line. So Padres point differential, run differential is 37. Athletics 36, Indians and White Sox 40, Rays 40, Yankees 25. What do you think the Dodgers is based off of those numbers?
Say the Yankees. Run differential. Say the Yankees one again.
25.
I would say the Dodgers is 87.
Oh, wow.
What? I wasn't looking, I swear to God.
90.
Ah, okay.
90. It's double. Double the best.
Last time I said coming into the season that the Dodgers were going to win the World Series. I said
they got fucking Mookie Betts for nothing.
Yeah, they make the World Series every year, even though they lose, and then they just randomly threw in Mookie Betts to their team, and it's like, okay, well, I mean, that seems like a pretty big deal. Did they make a trade for somebody? Oh no, I think there was rumors they were going to trade for Lance Lynn. Yeah, and I think they're on pace.
They have so many guys in the rotation. Like their rotation is already really good.
What, with Bueller, Dustin May, and Kershaw?
Yeah, I mean, but they're like the other guys. They got like Tony Gonsolin, who just like gave up his first couple runs this entire season. He only had four starts, but I mean, he's not like there. It's not even like he's a main guy. He's just like they keep optioning him to their other site. You know, they just have. You know, the team is so good. I mean, Mookie Betts is top three player in the league.
Well, last time I checked, they would have been, if this was a full season, they would have been on pace to beat the Mariners' record of like 116 wins.
I mean, the team is just amazing. They have so much talent. It's ridiculous. Yankees, obviously, just struggling with so many fucking injuries. Judge is probably not coming back till the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Stan, you don't even know. He might be, I don't even know where he is. Torres, you forgot he's on the team. LeMahieu's actually coming back. Thank God. Sanchez. Okay, yeah, Sanchez. So he's been struggling hard, really bad. But there are some positive signs that people don't see. And he actually did hit a grand slam. Everyone pretty much gave up on him at 3 p.m. Eastern, and then they ball back in at about 6 p.m. Eastern today. But Sanchez is essentially amazing when he hits the ball. The problem is that he doesn't hit the ball.
Yes. In baseball, that would be one of the major issues, I would say.
So his expected stats, basically, he has the worst batting average in the league, striking out like second to none, slugging percentage, terrible. But his exit velo, hard hit percentage, and barrel rate are all like top 90 percentile, which is, you know, elite. So basically when he's actually hitting the ball,
he hits it hard as hell.
He hits it fucking hard. Like,
which is why I can't give up, because I'm like, can he not just make more consistent contact? Like, it makes no sense how he never gets hits, but when he gets a hit, it's always a home run. It makes sense. I don't understand it.
Does he need glasses?
Could be.
Mike brought that up. I mean, I don't know. Like, you got to try something. Something's got to change. I don't know what it is. You know, there's something missing. I don't know. Listen, is it mental? I have no idea. Is he tired? From catching?
No, he can't be tired. They give him a day off like every other day. He's always getting breaks.
He's supposed to be in like the best shape of his life which I think he is.
He looks good. People always say, oh, he's fat or whatever. He doesn't look fat to me. He looks like he's in good shape. So I think he's just – one thing that is weird is that if you
– He's 27 already.
Yeah, he is 27. If you look at in 16 and 17 when he was like just being a monster, he has a different batting stance. So it's kind of like
– I'm going to look at 2017, yeah. I mean,
he's more upright, like he's standing up, and I think he didn't have as big of a leg kick either. So it's just sort of weird. And I'm not an expert, I don't know, but if he made a change to his stance, or the Yankees helped him make a change to his stance, and then he's been not as good since then, wouldn't they try to like change it back? You know, is it that simple?
I'm looking at his 2017 stats, and basically the exit velo, barrel percentage, and hard hit rate are all exactly what they are in that season, his best season.
No way.
Yeah, exactly. Everything else, he just doesn't hit the ball. He doesn't, like, when he make the barrel rate is like when you, the percentage that you hit on the actual barrel of the bat.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want more. So it's not like he's like hitting a shitload of fly pop ups and shit. He's just striking out at an insane rate.
Which is like your one hope is that there's no way that this guy is going to continue to strike out on like 50% of his at-bats. That's your one hope, you know? It's really what you try to hold on to, where it's like, there's no way that he's this bad. So
like 1 percentile and 2 percentile in the expected batting average and in the K percentage. That's so bad. It's so bad. It's just awful.
Now, what
if you pull up... If you know what's scary, like if you pull up, if you're on Baseball Savant and you look up Juan Soto's numbers,
okay,
it's just like he's the best in everything. And this guy is 21 years old. It's insane. He's like the greatest hitter of all time. He's like, it's fucking nuts how good this kid is. He's 21. He's pretty big. He means 6'1", 220.
His expected batting average is 367. His expected slugging is 795.
I mean,
hit percentage, his K percentage is in top 4% of the league, meaning like low.
Yeah, yeah.
His ELO velocity and barrel is top 3%, top 1%. Jeez.
Best hard hit rate in the league, best expected batting average, ex-WOBA, best in the league. I mean, guy's phenomenal. Yeah, but and let's look at like another guy who's hitting phenomenally. Manny Machado.
I'm happy to see Machado bouncing back because he had sort of a down year last year with the Padres.
He did, and he caught a lot of slack. Basically just saying like, you know, he's a money grabber, but obviously you're gonna take that fucking money. That's so much money.
Now he's on a fun young team that's like electric.
Yeah. I mean Tatis is fucking obviously he's a highly touted prospect, but I mean he's going to win the MVP potentially. So, I mean, well, next candidate is probably his teammate Manny, who's actually been I don't know if it's like secretly, but you know he's been just as good. I mean he's been phenomenal. He's only 28, so he has some years left in his prime. I would say you know at least another five more years. So
what?
I mean the Padres are going all in. They are going all in at this trade deadline right now. Basically all it is today are Padres rumors. They're trying to get Lance Lynn, they're trying to get Clevinger, Joey Gallo, you know, whoever's on the market, they're trying to get, you know, and I haven't seen that in a while. You don't see teams just like trying to just trade everyone. I mean, they already got like two catchers. Also, Nola has been really good offensively and defensively, and he could play infield positions. He is 30. So I don't know if he's like an extremely late bloomer or whatnot, but you know, listen, we'll see. They might, if they get Clevinger, they're going to have Clevinger, Chris Paddock, and I don't know if they would have enough pieces to get Lance Lynn, but That's a contender, because Clevinger is a good number one, Lance Lynn good number two, Chris Paddock good number three. I mean, they have the rotation down. I think they got Trevor Rosenthal, who's been very good at the closer position. But yeah, the Padres have just been very exciting to watch. So
I think they're just looking at it like it's a shorter season. We might as well just go in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I like their jerseys. It's different, but I like it. Kind of like when I look at them, though, I think of the Pirates. You know, that the white, black, and yellow.
Yeah, you're saying you like them. You're pro.
I like them, but they look like the Pirates. Like when I see the jerseys, I'm like, oh, the Pirates
are playing. Yeah, it's sort of got that yellowy, like brownish sort of look. But I do kind of like them, even though I think they're kind of ugly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, they're almost like camo situation going on. There's something about it where I'm like, I shouldn't like these, but I feel like they're kind of cool.
Everyone else, I mean, the Indians, obviously they have the whole Clevinger police act situation where they're gathering offers. White Sox, they are trying to get Clevinger too, but their rivals are the Indians. So I don't know how they're going to get that deal done.
Trade them in division. That would be something.
Yeah, and they're basically... They have the same record right now, so that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's it for baseball. It sucks that, you know, the Yankees have so many players hurt, but...
I'm not worried. You know, what are you gonna... I'm not worried, you know, in terms of a lot of their guys are going to be coming back. So, you know, until we hear season ending, I'm not worried. The only one that's season ending right now is Canely, which was a blow, but it's not a fatal blow.
Right. You know, we can make up for it, but I'm very disappointed, though, that I'm not seeing any Yankees rumors at all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say before we end. It's like, why are they not involved? Like, why aren't they trading for Clevinger? Like, why are we? They don't make big moves. Great, they signed Cole, and everyone, now the fan base is just going to be happy with that for the next 10 years. Like, oh, they made a big move. Remember they made that big move for Gerrit Cole 8 years ago? It's like, why aren't they trading for Clevinger?
So, as we were speaking, Yankees have checked in on Starling Marte. So, a potential deal can be expanded to include a pitcher as well, as the Diamondbacks have Robbie Ray, Archie Bradley, and others. Those pitchers are awful. Starling Marte is very good, but... depends what we have to give. I mean, I'd rather, if we have any pieces, just go get fucking Dylan Bundy, who's been good on the Angels. He's had a breakout year. He was a top prospect. Funny looking, but, you know, he's been really good. And he's only 27. That's why I prefer him. And he's going to be a lower cost. So that's why I prefer him over Lance Lynn. You know, basically they have like the same sample size as being good. Lynn, you know, half a year more, but like, listen, he's like 5 years younger. So give me Bundy for a cheaper cost, most likely. But, you know, if you're going to trade anyone, listen, Indians drafted Clint Frazier. They need an outfielder, specifically a power hitting outfielder. Clint Frazier has some power. He's an outfielder. They drafted him. Great prospect. Throw in Andovar and maybe like a lower end pitching prospect.
Throw in Andovar? Is that like, is that Andovar when he's on steroids? Andovar?
Andovar. And I mean, I think that I like it for both sides. I mean, you get the hitting. They remind, like, the Indians, they don't really need pitching, but, you know, you'll see who they
What's
get.
What's going
but.
On with Andovar? Like, are we. Like I have no idea. He's just not good anymore.
In brighter news, though, Devi Garcia.
Yes. Keep it positive.
Phenomenal.
Hey.
Very good.
That was a great, great debut. Can't ask for much better than that.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees came back. I mean, they looked like dead.
Won the series 3-2.
Won the series 3-2. I mean, they were down 7-2 today, and they came back in miraculous fashion. You know, with the Mets helping for sure, but you know, still hard to come back down 7-2.
Hicks left the second game with cramps in both calves.
That's the best result
that you could ask for a player leaving the game. It's like, oh, he'll get over cramps.
Yeah, I mean, Gio, on the bright side, Gio is really here to stay. Talkman's been great. And, I mean, again, Frazier, his value couldn't be higher right now.
That's very true.
Finally, it's just like, okay, obviously it's a small sample size, but you get to see, like, this is the best he's played. He had like an interview where he sounds much more mature. He's stepping up when the Yanks need it. And, he probably knows that he's going to be in trade talks. I mean, he knows he's going to be in trade talks. He's been in trade talks.
Basically his middle name is trade talks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, now would be the time to potentially sell high. How about that? I mean,
I would trade Andujar in a package for Clevinger. Like if we could play, but now it's harder to trade Debbie now that we saw him like come up and have a good start, you know?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't trade. Yeah, I wouldn't trade all three. That would be too much.
What is their rotation this year? It's going to be Cole, Tanaka, Montgomery, Happ, and Garcia.
I think Garcia is getting sent back down.
But I think I saw some tweet that said he's going to come back up for like a doubleheader in a few days and then might stay up. How about J.A. Happ stepping up? I don't like him either, but he had a great start, though.
Yeah. I mean, Paxton sucks.
Well, he's hurt. He's hurt.
I don't like Paxton, though. I just don't like Paxton. I just don't trust him. I don't trust him. Like, just get fucking Clevinger. You get Clevinger, because otherwise the White Sox get it, they're fucked, because, like, right now they're projected to play them that first wild card game or whatever it is, and it's only three games, so listen, they'll have Giolito and Clevinger against Cole and Tanaka, and I'm not even sure who they're, I think that their third starter is pretty weak. I think it's like Dylan Cease, who sucks. But, our third starter would be who? Jordan Montgomery or J.A. Happ?
Yeah.
It's not like, the stars are bright over here either. Listen, you just fucking go all in. Just fucking do it.
The Yankees don't operate like that anymore. Like, they don't go all in. They're always like, we're a payroll and we got these young guys. They don't act like the big bad wolf anymore.
Like the Dodgers do.
Yeah, the Dodgers are basically the Yankees. Well, we'll see if the Dodgers make a trade, but the Dodgers are on a rampage. It's like they're like, we don't even need a trade. If they traded for Lance Lynn, that would be a power move.
Yeah, I mean, would going all in really be trading Clint Frazier and Andrew?
I know. It's not even trading for Clevinger would be, you don't even have to go, unless maybe the Indians are just asking for so much. Like, maybe the Indians are saying, Andujar, Frazier, and Debbie Garcia isn't enough. And then it's like, okay, well, what do you want from us?
I mean, Clevinger's trade value is not as high and nearly was just simply a year ago, just because of the whole situation. And he also missed some time in the last year because he had an injury. So he has some like injury concern, but nothing crazy enough to really slash its potential. But if you could get a number one starter for these two guys to solidify your rotation, like that's exactly what they need. That is exactly who they need, which is so frustrating why they aren't like the number one like team right now in the Twitter sphere. That's like, oh, the Yankees are really gaining traction on getting Clevinger surrounded by so-and-so players.
Are they even going to trade for like a relief pitcher? I feel like the bullpen is obviously when Britton comes back. Okay. It's Chapman, Britton, Ottavino, and Green, but it's like, you can never have too many relievers.
I mean, cause like they're doing these fucking, they're really going to get an outfielder. They're going to use their prospects to get outfielder. Like Starling Marte is good, but you don't want to use your prospects for him. Like Judge is going to come back, I guess.
Yeah. Why? I don't want to trade for it. I don't even want another hitter.
Yeah. We don't need the offense I just don't understand. I do trust Cashman, but he's being a little too conservative.
I would agree with that.
But I mean, we'll see what they do. Yeah, it's tough, but hopefully Yankees make a move. Trade deadline is tomorrow.
Yeah, so
it's tomorrow. Clock's
ticking here. Tomorrow. At what, like 4 p.m. or something random like that?
Usually, yeah, midday. So hopefully we wake up when you're listening to this podcast tomorrow morning or whenever. Hopefully there'll be some deals.
Yankees traded for Cody Bellinger.
That'd be sick. He's having a down. Yeah, he's kind of having a down year, but obviously he's so talented. But you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, we'll be next pod. We'll be like, oh yeah, the Yankees got fucking Clevenger. All is well. LeMahieu's coming back. Stanton's making progress. Torres came back to life. Sanchez is on fire.
There's always hope. But there's always hope.
Always hope. We got the talent. You know, we'll just see what happens. I think that's it. You got anything else? All right, ladies and gentlemen, like, subscribe, favorite, do your thing, do your dance, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
See ya.